Dalad Kislev, Sunday the 4th of December, Rabbi David Koenig. Copyrights and patents, a test study. This week's Torah Away has been sponsored by Lichvod Simchas HaNesuim of Moti Siegel and Michal Pozan. Mazel Tov.
Good morning. We'll start with a case study. Came by us in Beis Din. The following din Torah. We'll keep it anonymous, obviously. Somebody took the magnum opus of a Kadmon, a Kodesh from 400 years ago, a Sefer from 400 years ago, which was very difficult to learn. He didn't quote exactly where his sources were. And so he redid it with what's called Mafteches, with Tikkunim, with all the corrections, with finding all of the Maram HaKoymis, all of the sources. It was really a very, very major work. He turned the Sefer into, like the Gemara says in Eivrei, and he gave the Sefer as Naim. He gave it handles, that it should be usable. Okay, the Sefer is being sold. Suddenly, he gets called to a Din Torah. Why? Because somebody else said, I just did the same thing a year ago. I put it out. And you went to my work, the four-volume work, you went through it, and you lifted all of the Maram HaKoymis, all of the Mafteches, all of the corrections, even the Kudus that were on it. You took the work, which is the concept of a copyright in secular law, Pochis Oyois, more or less. So, the issue is like this. What is he taking? So he wanted, obviously, money. He wanted restitution. He wanted that Bezin should answer him to distribute his new work. So there are several issues which we have to discuss. We'll go in order. First of all, what was he stealing? He wasn't. I'm sorry.
Did he take it from the other fellow?
Well, he denied it, but he did. Yes.
He did.
Yes, he did. It was just many people when they put out a new safer with Maram HaKoymis, what they do is they put in a mistake which would never happen by itself. That's the trick that many would see lawyers do in big organizations. Of course, not by us. We're talking about people who aren't from Machbin and Halacha. So, yes, and once he brought that proof, that was really...
One of the Maramachemists, he wrote the Ainiyodea, and the other one wrote, come on here.
Okay, so I see you're familiar already with the concept. Okay, let's get it right. Let's move on. So let's go. Traditionally, so what's this? So the Sefer is not, that's the Sefer of the Kadmon. We're talking about the work that was put in to make it accessible to our modern day audience. What do we find about this in Kadmonian? So it is true that several hundred years ago, when somebody would print a set of Mishnayos, which was written by Rabbeinu HaKodesh close to 2,000 years ago, he would go around to Rabbonim to get a letter, please do not reprint, for 5 years, for 10 years, for 7 years. That has nothing to do with what we're talking about. That issur to reprint was partially where Rabbonim were looking out for the Teyeles, for what's good for the Tzibur, for the community, and they realized nobody's going to put money in, lay out money to print the Mishnayos unless he feels reasonably he's going to be able to get it, sell all his all the copies. Therefore, they put out an Isser. This is not a Choshe Mishpah. It's not a Mammonistic Isser. This is just like Rabbanim can make Isurim whatever they feel when they get for the Teyeles of the community at large. That's not what we're talking about. Here, what we're talking about is the fact that he, I'll use the word stole, but that's going to be the question, he stole the work that the first fellow put in. First fellow, intellectual property, that's the term that it's called today. It's the work. Intellectual property a lot of times means when you invented something, but yeah, for the purpose of conversation, that's good. Okay, so two things we have to discuss. I don't think we'll have time to discuss both of them, so we'll start with the second one. The two things are, first of all, is he allowed? Is it gneva? We're familiar with gneva when somebody steals my watch. Is this gneva when he's stealing something which we can't really quantify, we can't feel it? Let's, for argument's sake, yeah, well, hopefully we'll get to that, to explain what the halachic underpinnings of that is. But today I want to, most important, talk about the other way. Okay, he's a gun. He's got to pay him back. How much does he have to pay him back? What's the point? The words of the Eilig Akadmain are there, and that's nothing. That you didn't steal. Those are his words. It's Torah min Hashamayim, and that's not what you stole. So what did you do? You stole the work. Generally speaking, when somebody invests so much work to put out a volume, what he does is he will sell it conditionally. A lot of times it's even written. This is being sold, b'tnai, on the condition that you will not reproduce electronically, digitally, manually, printing, Xerox, there's a whole list. A condition in the mechira. If we'll say that that's based on that condition, that's the isser that he was over by, yes, producing it electronically, by, yes, digitally scanning it and therefore able to take out the maftecha so that he can reprint it in his own program. That's what he stole? Okay. So, no, sorry. I want to go with that one. Let's go with that. So now let's think. What's the gneiva? You bought it and you weren't fulfilling the conditions. So you're a ganav. If I sell you my watch with a condition that you can only use it in England and not in America, and you use it in America, you are everything. So what do you do? You give me back the watch. This is the point I'm trying to make. What do you have to do? You're a ganav because you didn't follow the conditions of the sale. Give me back the watch. Conditions that are so clear, and every distributor and printer understands that they're in the kitchen, they don't even have to be set out clearly. You know, if you're familiar, Tosis, in two places in Shas says, certain conditions which are unusual need to actually be written out, b'tnai b'nei godu b'nei ruvein. Like we have in Parshas Matos, hein koidim lalav, t'nai koidim lamaisa. There's a whole procedure how to put a t'nai, a condition, into a sale or into any kinyan that you're doing. Some things don't need a negod of Meiruvin. They just need to say, I'm selling it to you on this condition. And Tosis speaks about Shtar Mavrachas, where it was clear, so clear, that it was just a document being made to get away from taxes or custom exercises, which the Goyim were putting on for no reason, that you don't even need to make it as a condition. It's obvious. So I'm willing to accept that it's 100% obvious. You, even though I didn't tell you the condition, it's clear when I'm selling you this book, you can't break it down digitally and reprint it and make money off of it. Most of them write it in the front. But even if they wouldn't write it, it's there. Okay, so you're a ganav. So give me back the book. Did we accomplish anything by giving back the book? No, he's giving back the book, but he already took out. He gives him back the $10 that the book, £10 that the book cost. The same thing. That the book cost. Right?
No income.
So, but by a ganav, explain. Who says he has to give back the income? Where's the halachic source? That is the question. Normally in a ganav, you give back. You used it not. I told you can't use it out of the country. Use it out of the country, give it back to me. It's not yours, you're a ganav. A ganav has to be machzir. What's the guy has to give back what he stole? What did he steal? When I buy a book for $10, I'm really buying a book for $10,000? Is that really what this is? No, you're 100% right, but this is what we have to take out. This is the issue. If we would have given him back the $10, he wouldn't have been happy. Didn't really gain anything here.
Someone stole bricks. Does he have to just give back the bricks or the whole house?
For sure, only bricks. Faker, that's what the Gemara says. Once he put it into the house, the Stakonas Marish, he doesn't have to break down the house even to give back the bricks. He gives him different bricks. Hahefach, the other way around. That's a proof to my question. That's a proof. Your honors are right. He doesn't have to give it back. So that's the question. The revach that he made, that he didn't have to sit down Talmidei Chachamim to go over the Maror Mekoyimus, the Mafteches, all of that, that's what he wants back. Can we get it for him? So, the Mukar, in my humble opinion, is the following. He does have to give it back.
Give what?
Give the entire Nehem, what he gained, what he saved, the second printer, what he saved by not having to sit down Talmidei Chachamim to go through every single line, where's the Gemara that he's really quoting, where's the Medrash, where that is time and effort, going through every single word to make sure there's no typing errors in the original printer. That's money.
So
somebody has to work it out.
Now we can do. We know once we know. But our question was, why is he chayev that? What's the halachic source? The halachic source is a famous tshuva in Oide B'Yehuda, that there was a gentleman who was a scholar, and he wanted to be mefarsim his divrei Torah, and it seems that he was a man of means also. So he went to a printer and said, you're familiar how printing used to be before our times, right? Little slugs of lead, you would put them together, print 500 copies of that page, break it apart, put it together again, the new ICS, the new star, the new setup. Okay, that's how printing used to be. So he wanted his, this Talmud Chacham wanted his own Chiddushei Torah to be disseminated by Klal Yisrael. So he went to the printer and said, look, my Chiddushim by themselves, if I print them separately, I don't know if it'll go so well. But I want you to print a Shas with Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos, and my Chiddushim. Wasn't the only person who did that. People did similar ideas. So the printer went ahead and did it. You pay for it, I'll do it. However, what the printer did was he set up the entire omelet. So we have, let's say, Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos, and on the bottom we have this Talmud Chacham's Chiddushim. Printed as many copies of that page as the Talmud Chacham had ordered. And then he printed another few hundred pages without the bottom. Got it? You understand what he did? So now he has a few hundred copies of Gemara Rashi Tosfos with this Talmud Chacham's Chiddushim on Maseches Brachos, and a few hundred copies of Maseches Brachos without this person's Chiddushim. What's wrong is the gentleman said, when I paid you to print, so our global price was based on all the effort that your workers would have to do. It's the exact same case. You took my work that I paid for, which was taking an ois of an aleph and an ois of a yud and an ois of a lam, putting it together to write the word ayil. That's what you did. Then you broke it up.
Paying for this work. For the quantity.
That's exactly what the Native Yehuda says. The Native Yehuda says that he has to pay him back. He says, why? Based it on the Gemara in Bava Kama, it's Kapaskin and Shulchan Aruch. A person who has a chotzer, which he usually rents out for a small amount of money. He would have been able to rent it out for a small amount of money, and he wanted to, but he didn't. And somebody else, without letting him know, lived in that chotzer for a period of time. The Gemara calls this zeh nene, the zeh chotzer. You, the person who, the trespasser, was nene. He was nana, let's say, the value of $100. The other gentleman, the owner, lost. He lost only $10. Because he wasn't on top of it. He didn't have a broker. It wouldn't have been rented out. How much does he have to pay the nana? Mara said, no, he did. Let's say he did. Because somebody came the last day of the 10 days and looked and said, oh, he was there. So he didn't rent it. Let's say he lost a small amount. The ikka point of the Gemara is that ze nana, the ze choser, he has to pay the entire hanah that he got. So the Neid of Yehuda says, in this case, probably, if the printer would have only printed the Gemara Rashi Tosfos with this gentleman's, this Talmud Chacham's Chiddushim, would have sold 100 copies. Now, a few copies less it must have sold, because people went ahead and just didn't need his Chiddushim, they just took the Gemara Rashi and the Tosfos, so he lost a bit. So it's Zenen, and therefore you have to pay the entire hanah. I think it's in exactly the same case here. Here, the entire hanah, how much you were nana, how much you gained from the fact that you did not have to put down Talmidei Chachamim to do the work of the Maror Mekoyimim and the Maftechas, the entire producing the work.
That's already been paid for.
Well,
the Baal HaChidushim has paid for that.
You're talking about in the case of the Neid of Yehuda?
Yeah.
No.
The shas that you're talking about.
No. The printer is gaining because he is selling now several hundred copies based on the work that the other gentleman paid for.
Yeah.
But if the other gentleman printed, let's say, ordered 500 copies, and all the 500 sold.
So that's the question, Walter. Now you're going to the famous Rabbi Kivega, Slavita Shas Machlaik, Slavita Vilna. It was beyond the scope of this discussion.
That was
Yeah, he lost a bit. The point I'm just trying to make is that Berega, that you lose a bit, you have to pay for the entire Hanor. It's a Gemara Mufresh. Zenene v'zeh loy choser potter. Zenene v'zeh choser, you have to pay for the entire Nene. The Gemara gives an example of where Gemara thinks that maybe living in somebody else's apartment will automatically blacken the walls a bit, and that's enough to be called a choser that you have to pay the entire market value of the rent. That's a Gemara. Gemara Bava Kama Daf Chafav. Zeh Nene. There's a tashlum called nene. Mar learns it out. So you here are being nene, and therefore you must pay for the entire nene that you had. That's what the native Yehuda says. Interestingly enough, there were chaylkim on this native Yehuda. There were chaylkim, the Chachmas Betzalel, and the Yeshua's Malkai said, it's not really true. Nana always is the payment of Nana when I go and live in somebody else's empty apartment. But here, me, let's say I would be the printer in this case, those slugs, those pieces of lead, were mine. See, he says it's Bishaloyhu Nana. What did I do? I took my slugs. True. This is the Chiddush over here. You see that the Chayukim and the Neidib Yehuda hold, this is an important point, hold that if the chomer, the actual pieces of metal, were mine, even though the intellectual property, which is the connecting of the oisius to produce a proper surah of words and sentences, was at that time, the native Yehuda, the chaylkim and the native Yehuda held that itself you don't have to pay for. It's called b'shalayu nana. In this case, they would also agree. Why? In this case, in our case, we're talking about today, even the Choylkim and the Naidib Yehuda will agree that you have to pay. You know why? Because here, going back, he made a condition that you're not allowed to do it. So Berega, he becomes a Ganev by being over on the condition. It's called that he's being Nene, he's getting pleasure, getting Reva, profit, Mishalacherim, because it became not his. Here, the condition helps. This is the point I'm trying to make. We asked a question, that if you made the condition, say you're a ganav. If you're a ganav, so what? Give it back. And of course, that wouldn't help us at all if he just gives it back. But here it's different. Because here, as soon as he has to give it back, that means that, retroactively, he was using this book, this Sefer Shalai Kedin, as a ganav. So he's being neh-neh, b'shal haver, something that belongs to his friend. Therefore, he has to pay for the full hanor. So, in our humble opinion, the best we paskin, that we felt that in this case, he has to give back the full hanor. It's not enough for just him to give back the actual physical copies of the book that retroactively came out that he stole, but he's got to pay the full hanor. And we sat down, a professional, there are professionals who do this, how much was the work worth, back and forth, and based on that, we will machayev him to pay that amount. I would like to bring, when I became a dayan, I said I'm not going to follow this downstream to see what people. I don't do it. I do it. This is the psak. I mean, the truth is that he did pay because there became another vikuch. He wanted to give back other sfarim. They were both meichrei sfarim. So there was a question of how you value sfarim, which are older already and different. So there were issues. Yeah, there was another. You really make me go off on a tangent.
Sorry.
But we had a follow-up in Torah. We all understand that if you sell one paper clip for a pence, you will not sell a million paper clips for a million pence. Correct? So this was the vikuach where he wanted to give back a big amount of books based on the retail price. So we had another follow-up in Torah on that. So it would seem that he was holding by paying up, but it's really, that's a very big point, wholesale and retail. In the Torah, how do you get the value? Okay, but that's a different time. I just want to go back to this. So we said you have Mechayev Nana. The heart of the discussion is that sometimes when you're selling something for £10, you're really selling an investment in it of £10,000. That's the point. Can we get back when you stole that £10, can that be mechayev you £10,000? So I found one more case where you do this. And this is a very, very interesting case. Normally, when a person steals something, so he's got to give it back. He's got to pay it back. What happens if, meanwhile, he stole, say the case of the Gemara, he stole a shoyer, and meanwhile he plowed with it, while he was, the ganav had it in his possession. Not only, either he plowed with it himself, or he rented it to somebody else for a day's work of plowing. So now when he gives back the ox, is it enough for him just to give it back? Or does he have to give back the value added?
The animal's weaker as well.
Let's say it wasn't weaker. The Gemara says sometimes that animals, if they don't work, they get weaker. You have to work them. The Gemara says, even on people, Abula de Mechuza, the Gemara says, the treggers of Mechuza that they would carry, if they took a day off, they would get out of shape, and it wasn't good. You're 100% right, but we have... So the Ramos says... In Shin Samar Gimel Sifhei, the Imsochra Hagazlan Laacher, the Gazlan rented it out to somebody else. Tzorich Lahagzir Haschar Lebailin. He does have to give back the profit that he made from renting it out. So I don't understand. Why should that be? The Mechaber himself said before that if you stole the Shoyer and you yourself plowed with it, it's enough if you give back the shor. You don't have to give back that added value that you took out of the shor that you were able to plow with it. Why over here is it different? That's the Bir Agro. The Bir Agro says that the pshat of this Ramah is because in a chanami, if my shor was not oimid for rental, this is a contemporary, a car, somebody steals my car, I don't rent out my car. So that he managed to make some deliveries and make packages and they did whatever with it, he doesn't have to give that back. He gives you back the car, the Shalom al Yisrael. But if something is oimid lahaskir, then you also have to add on, this is the point, add on the Erech Haskiris. And the Goyen learns that the Raya is from your Mishnah. That the Mishnah has a case over there where somebody himself borrowed a shoyer and then he rented it further. The expression of the mission is Ketzar how halo this gentleman Oisus Chayra does business the Parosei Shel Chavei. But the point I'm trying to take out of this Ramah and this Bir Agro is this: that we have a precedent where you stole something that was worth $10, and you pay back more than $10. Why? Because you, with your business acumen, you realized value. You upgraded, you created a value added in this car, in this shoyer that you stole, in this app that you stole, and you got, that's mine. You stole it from me, you got to pay that back to me. And that's the heart of our discussion here also. What did you do here? You realized a $10,000 value which was hidden in this $10 thin book here. You pulled it out. You pulled it out. I put it in. You pulled it out. Okay. But it was there. So just like the Ramah Paskins in Shulchan Aruch, that if something was oimid for schirus, you've got to pay the added value of you if you took profit out of it. Here, you did the same thing. This sefer had in it the added value because I invested so much money into it. And I was selling many, many copies, and people were buying it because of the value that was embedded in this book, in this sefer.
Is it completely similar? Because with the time he stole it, the other one couldn't do business or couldn't work with it. So he lost.
Here also, there's a limited market for Sifrei Kodesh. The person who invested, the first gentleman who did it, said... this is a business decision. He said, I'll put in kach v'kach, hours work, so much the paper, so much this, so much that, because the market can hold 2,000 copies. I'll be able to sell within 2 years. I'm just making this up, but that's the idea. But now when there's another gentleman who, between me and you, the second gentleman will probably be able to sell it for a bit cheaper. because he saved that $10,000 of the investment. He'll undercut. So is there not a damage? The first fellow is not going to be able to sell all his copies, I would think. You understand what I'm answering you?
There's a competition damage, but this is a losing business. No. The one was stolen.
Complete. So is there really, you're saying what we call in Gemara, you're saying a chiluk, but is it mechalek? Is this difference going to, you're right, it wasn't 100% loss, so what? But I want the 50% back. He wants whatever he lost. He wants the profit that the second gentleman is making. So it's a little bit different in, if we were going with the first mahalach, we have 2 more minutes? If we were going with the first mahalach of the Neidi B'Yehuda, that said that the Chiyuv is the halachic principle called Neneh. So how much did the second fellow gain? Was he Neneh because he didn't have to lay out this money to get the Talmid HaChacham to go over the work and set it up? Here, it's not the Nen. I just want to finish this thought. Here, if we're going with the Mahalach of the Ramah, the amount that he would owe would be a bit different. Because according to the Ramah says, you rented out my ox that you stole, whatever profit you made, give me back. So here, we would go after the gentleman, the second fellow's bottom line. How much did he make? Which hopefully, if he was a good businessman, would have been more than his Nen.
You should go for the cost, not for the profit.
No, in the second case, I would go with profit. In the first one, the Yehuda, I would go with cost saved.
Yes.
It's not that much of a difference. We're not. Mm-hmm. When it comes to these kind of things, we ask a professional to. That's why you always sign Bein Ledin, Bein Lepesher. Even if where the din is clear, I'm not going to take responsibility on exactly how much money is it. The exact amount, I always stick in also for compromise. Even when I know the din is 100%, I don't consider myself with enough acumen to pass in it. So we go there. The difference won't be that much, a few percent. Like you said before, let's hope he'll pay up even the smaller amount. Right? But I just want to, you hear the difference? According to the Neidi B'Yehuda, the Chiyuv is Nehneh. How much did this second fellow gain that he didn't have to lay out money to get the job done? According to this explanation, based on the Ramah that says, Tzorech lahachzir haschar, to get back the profit, the rental, how much he got. Because the behemoth was oimedes lahaskir. And in our case also, the profit that you made, which was, this book had in it, that intellectual property to generate this amount of profit, and you took it from me, you have to give it back to me. Those are the two svaras. As far as the etzem bailus of intellectual property itself, how to touch it up, like I said, I didn't think we would get to it today.
The show which is over the last year, that's
But now, only because where it's oimid lahaskir, we consider it that is the surface value of it. If it's something which you didn't plan on renting out yourself, that's what the Mechaber says in Sif Beis, 2 sifim before, that if it's a shor that's not oimid lahaskir, stop, you steal a shor and you, like, give me the case, you steal a car and you make some deliveries with it. You don't have to pay it back. No, but the original guy was. That was the whole point. He was out there, that investment that he was.